fourth and final hour here on WEEI Afternoons. Before we get to the drive, we got to get to some phone calls. We got to get to the text line. Stiz, I think they're calling you out. Wow. This is a 508. Wow. Can tell you three are all liberals. Clear as a window.
Wow. I don't know how I feel about that. But also, Andy, happy Why? January 6th. I know you celebrate. So.
Oh, yeah. And did you get the invite to Andy's cookout later?
Oh, big bash tonight.
I am going out tonight, actually. Not to celebrate that.
So boom, boom, shrimp?
Maybe. It's actually on the menu at the place where I'm going. So I may
make an insurrection salad.
No, we're not doing that. We're not making any more of those. But yeah, apparently we're all liberals. Is that why I'm going to be charged for driving to work soon? They're going to be charging me per the mile to get to
work.
Yeah,
you are screwed if that's the case.
God, I hope that doesn't happen because, well, I'll be gone.
You and your hour and a half commute are going to have a good time on a bike.
Yeah, that's not going to go great. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Sam in Providence has a thought on the whole May Stafford situation. What's up, Sam?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. First time, long time. Hope you guys are well. I want to get your thoughts on something that I haven't heard talked about yet. So, obviously, with Stafford, there's a lot of, you know, his numbers at the one-yard line. I think heading into the week, he had 11 TDs from the one. If you guys recall, in the first quarter, when we were at the goal line, Ramondre Stevenson took the direct snap out of the shotgun and then ran it in for a touchdown with Drake May out wide.
Yep.
Do we think that was in any way like a shot at Stafford, like, hey, you know, I don't need to take stat pad from the 1 yard line, and whatnot.
Ooh, Sam, thanks for the call. And so not the Josh McDaniels, the whole offense is in on it. We're making a point. Ooh, I like where Sam's head's at.
Meanwhile, the Rams are just chucking up touchdown passes, right and left.
Stat padding.
I like the conspiracy theory. My feeling is Fitzy. I thought Josh the last couple weeks was running plays that were not necessary, flea flickers, wildcat, quarterback draws, and to just put a lot of stuff on film, so the Chargers have to go crap. Have you seen what they've been doing lately? Like, do we gotta waste time preparing them for these plays that he's never gonna run against them? Right. So I think that's more why they were doing plays like that. But that's my two cents, Fitzy. What's your thoughts?
I feel the exact same way, Ted. I honestly think that later in the season, as opposed to, oh, let's make sure that we can, you know, do a little Matt Stat Padford for Drake May to keep him in the MVP discussion. He put a lot of things on tape to just try to confuse defensive coordinators, full well knowing they were heading with a full head of steam to the playoffs and keep guys guessing. So a little flea flicker here, a little Drake and the Wildcat over there. That I think stuff like that does a great job of just muddying an opposing defensive coordinator's idea as to what this Patriots offense, which is a game plan attack, is or will be.
I'm glad you brought up the flea flicker, Fitzy. I knew that was going to be tough to say. That's why I had to slow it down a little bit.
An Efton Chisholm flea flicker.
But the flea was better than the flicker. And that was as well executed a flea flicker as I've seen. And the trust that Travion Henderson had in the line, because he kind of went up, then he kind of did a little
casual
left jump cut, then kind of turned
most
and pitched.
Most running backs,
it.
It's like hot potato. They can't get rid. They can't wait to get rid of that ball.
It was I've never seen it done like that. And I'll be honest with Travion Henderson. I don't know that I would do it like that too many times, because I think you'll get killed sooner or later if you do it like that. But that was a fun flea flicker.
Yeah.
So you liked those? The what he's done the last couple weeks, kind of, you know, food for thought for Harbaugh's team?
Yeah, I mean, so you do you remember the he's run two quarterback design runs in the red zone all season long. Mm-hmm. Remember how we were asking, when are we going to see
yes.
it? And it was in the first half of the Bills game.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen him since. You didn't see him before. But they're out there. Does a defensive coordinator go, you know what, we should probably prepare? They only did it twice all season.
Right.
But I think Josh does stuff like that because you didn't need to run a flea flicker there, right, Fitzy? You didn't. Mm-mm. I mean, you're winning the game. I mean, the double pass a few weeks ago. Did you have to? No, but it's like, oh, crap. You know, they've run a double pass, they've run the flea flicker, they've run the quarterback design runs.
Wildcat.
Do we got to prepare for all? They've run wide receivers out of the backfield for corner routes. Do we need to prepare for all that? We better. Because what was interesting, you guys, is that they executed all of them perfectly.
Yep.
And so it's like they've been practicing those plays all season long, when I can't imagine they have. But it just puts more on the plate for the defensive coordinators. And you just go, crap, we got a lot to cover.
Because sometimes you hear, and I heard Edelman talk about this on his podcast maybe a month ago, the famous double pass against the Ravens. And he was like, we'd had that in since week two. We'd been working on it since week two. We just never had the opportunity or reason to use it. We needed it coming back against the Ravens. Whereas these are things they've worked on and they've put them out there for teams to see, quote unquote, put it on tape for teams to see. It'll be interesting. It was definitely an interesting performance offensively. The one play I wouldn't really like to see again, was it fourth and one where they ran Henderson wide to the left and he got squashed like a bug? And yeah, I know it's cliche. When it's fourth and one, run forward. Be moving forward. Don't be moving wide or backwards or any of those things.
Yeah.
Don't give people like Ted Johnson time to diagnose it and chase you down. Run right at him and get the inches and yards that you need right away. But Stiz, it is 5:09:14. That means it's time for the drive.
This is the drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep.
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
This drive home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So the MVP situation, I'm going to call it a situation here, because we have the more deserving candidate, Drake May, the young candidate, and then we have the old has-been wannabe career achievement candidate in Matthew Stafford. The votes are in. The 50 voters have had to actually put their votes in. Again, they vote for five people. So all of them are actually voting for both of these guys. Just to be clear, it's where you put them in order, one, two, three, and you're going to be voting for three other guys. Ted Johnson, we've asked a lot of people, and we're going to hear from some of those answers, but I don't believe we've gotten your answer on two questions.
Yep.
Should Drake May be the MVP? And more importantly, will he be the MVP?
I think he should be, yes. You know, I could, you know, make my case real quick.
Sure.
Look, I think it is a factor who he's played with.
Yeah.
I think he has raised the level of the players he's playing with. If we were to have to tell you how we graded the skill players for the Rams before the season versus the skilled players for the Patriots before the season started, how would you rate those two skill positions? Would you rate the Rams top 10, top 5?
Top 10 to top 3rd, Patriots bottom 10 to bottom 3rd.
Yeah, so that to me is a huge one. The wins, more wins, big one. And then I think, you know, you want to make the soft schedule. I like how Barnwell looks at it. It's just because teams are losing doesn't mean the defenses that Drake May's had to face have been bad.
Right.
For example, the Cleveland Browns.
Right? Miles Garrett, five
sacks.
Miles
Garrett, the secondary for the Bills. There are defensive units that, even though they're on bad teams, have really good defenses that Drake has had to play against. So it's more impressive. The touchdowns, I don't find as impressive as everybody just references his touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And if you listen to Hoyer, he'll probably tell you, look, a one-yard touchdown throw is hard to make. Please. Are you kidding me? Give me a break. When you scheme up like Sean McVay schemes up, it's not that hard, especially when you have the players that they have. So to me, it's really not that much of a debate. I don't think it's that much of a debate. I really don't.
So do you get into the whole, because a popular one is either the idea if you removed the players from the teams or if you swapped
that
them.
One.
If you put Drake May on the Rams and Stafford on the Patriots, what would happen?
I don't think Stafford would be as good. I think he likes a couple guys, you know. I don't think he likes spreading the ball around.
He doesn't
changing
run.
Changing the gameplay.
He's got a bad back now.
Minus 2 yards. That's another thing. I mean, how many rushing yards does Drake have?
Yep, 400 and change.
It's incredible. And then you get to the, if you want to really get down to it.
Let's do it.
Real quick, here we go. The Patriots this year have the best offense by EPA per play. They were 27th last year. This year, They have the best passer rating in the NFL. Number one. Number one in QBR this year. Number one in pass per EPA this year. Number one in EPA in dropbacks. Number one in yards per attempt. Number one in completion percentage. Highest in Pat's history. Sixth best in the NFL history. Led the NFL, Drake May, in with 76 first downs or on TDs this season versus pressure. The only player that had more than 60, and he had 76. First QB to maybe ever win the MVP with zero players making it to the Pro Bowl on offense for that team. I mean, it's number one here, number one, best in the history. It's on and on and on. I'm sorry, if you're just going to reference touchdowns, that's literally touchdowns, okay? Right, that's nice, but how many of them were on the one-yard line, which, I'm sorry, they're not the hardest throws to make on the one-yard line, please.
And there's also another talking point is that historically, to win the MVP, you're a one or a two seed. Your team is a one or a two seed. They are not. As I said, they're a five seed. They're playing on the road against the Panthers, a losing football team. So they're certainly it's an interesting topic. It is a fun topic because each person brings their own criteria to the process.
Can I just say another thing? The coaching, Sean McVay's system is a tried and true system. What is the system for Drake May that he runs? Do we know? It changes week to week.
Josh McDaniels,
it's
baby.
The
My buddy.
All the coaches that coach with Sean McVay, hey, their offensive coordinators, go on to be head coaches and make a lot of money. Quarterbacks go there, they get rehabilitated, and then they go make big money. Okay, Baker Mayfield, you know, my man there in Detroit. So the system is just as impressive as the quarterback, Matt Stafford. So Drake May, to me, it's just more impressive what he's doing here. I don't even think it's that close. I really don't.
Okay, so we got Ted's thoughts. Fitzy and I have weighed in. I weighed in with my gambling app. I chickened out. I had Drake May to win the MVP. I took the cash out on Sunday when the cash out was dropping as Stafford threw touchdowns and Drake didn't. I took the odds.
Weak,
it's a little bit weak, but he threatened me when he said he was tough to knock on his can. So I felt like I needed to cash out and get my money. But no, I was just following the money. Matthew Stafford is the significant favorite right now. He is minus money. Drake is plus money. Like, it just... The gamblers believe that it's going to be Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where, and
it's, and that's not fair, and that's not right. That's sad. That's unfortunate.
All right,
all.
So we talked,
and that's kind of weak. That's by you a little bit. Like, I just, you know, does Drake know that you took money out against him?
I don't think that's something I need to share with
you. You won't tell him next week.
Yeah. I don't think I will.
Fitzy, you might have to make that. Let him know.
I'll let him know someone else was buying up all of his sports cards for his kids as an investor and a believer in his greatness.
Attaboy.
But one of us had a $5 bet on DraftDuel.
That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, just didn't believe in him. Ultimately, did not believe in him.
No, it's the process I didn't believe in. It's got nothing to do with Drake. It's the process that was going to let me down. Dan Ball?
So I'll usually screen the call before, so I kind of get a temperature of, you know, how good Drake's feeling, if he's going to be, you know, up
good
for the questions. So let me workshop this real quick. Hey, Drake, Dan with WEEI Afternoons. You got Andy and Fitzy this week, and Andy decided not to bet on you for the MVP after betting on you 17 weeks ago. I'll put you on hold.
Wow. Interesting.
I like that.
All right. I took the money and I ran. What do you want me to do? 617-779-7937. Let's go to Coach in New Hampshire. He has a thought on the MVP.
Hey,
what's up, Coach?
Yes, I do. Andy, good luck with that bet and dealing with Drake. But anyway, you guys have all hit some great bullet points. I wanted to add a few more to make my case. If Matthew Stafford was on a Ram team last year that had won four games, if he was on a Ram team that had 26 new football players, that had started five rookies, two on the offensive line, that mainly played outdoors, not indoors like him, I just think there's a lot here. I think that the one big point that's being overlooked is, what did Drake May do to a really poor team with a terrible roster from the year before? And that's what I want to say. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call, Coach.
I mean, these are excellent points that nobody.
They are.
Those are great points. You play indoors. You play on a team that has established players in a system with a coach that's been there. You have a new coach. So many new players. Coach just mentioned, I mean, two-thirds of this team is brand new.
Oh, yeah, and he brought it all together. It took a week. We criticized him for a week that, oh, he doesn't like his coordinator. There's too much on his plate. He's playing scared. That lasted a week. And then the traditional 16-game season that came after that, he kicked ass and he took names, and there were very few mistakes, and there were a lot of big plays. Now, it's weird because it almost feels like we think it's so obvious our way here in New England, Drake May supporters. And then it's almost like the people that are on the Stafford side, the Dan Orlovskys of the world and others, think it's so obvious the other way. Oh, it's Stafford. Like, they almost scoff at it. Like, Schlereth scoffed at us. Like, he thinks Stafford is going to win it. And it's so funny that both of us feel so strongly about our polarizing opinions.
But doesn't it feels like a little bit to me, Fitzy, that these are guys, again, that they don't follow the team every day. Mm-mm. And so, I mean, it sounds like homerish coming from us. But if you watch this team every day like we do, I think you would feel differently.
Yeah, it's sort of like a reverse on what we were talking about in the summer when we all dialed back our predictions for the team. Ted went from 10 to 8. Andy went from 8 or 9 to 7. We're all eating a little humble pie right now, obviously, because they went 14-3.
Yep.
Because we felt like, hey, we're watching them every day. They don't look that good. They look like they're just coming together. They look like they don't know each other. We can't expect this kind of seismic growth. And now people are basing their current evaluation off of old predictions, and they're not watching the team on a daily basis to see just how evolved and just how dynamic and diversified they are, Ted.
Yep. So, guys, we can get back to the Drake May MVP situation. We have a little breaking news here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program. This is breaking news.
So the coach of the Baltimore Ravens for the last 18 seasons.
No way.
No longer.
Wow.
John Harbaugh is out with the Ravens. According to Schefter, and this goes without saying, I feel like he's expected to be a top candidate for the other openings
big time.
Around the NFL. But John Harbaugh lost on a missed field goal. That field goal goes through, and he's preparing for a playoff game right now. Instead, he's out.
He lost because he didn't play maybe Derrick Henry in the final two drives.
Maybe that got him. Could that have gotten him fired?
Yeah.
Because I said at the time it was a fireable offense. Yeah. That was one of the worst things I've ever seen. And then the only thing that made it worse was the next day, the weird talking about it, explaining
not having
it.
A good explanation for
nothing.
It.
He had nothing.
And it felt like when they asked Lamar Jackson after this last game what he thought about, you know, Harbaugh being the coach, he didn't really support Harbaugh. I think it was either Lamar's got to go or Harbaugh's got to go. But the two couldn't coexist anymore.
That is...
We know who just went, and we know who's going to be... boy, Andy, name it. Yep. Falcons, Raiders, everywhere. Giants. Yeah.
Well, that just made, for me, two teams really interesting because John Harbaugh's a... Whatever you think of him, I think he's overrated. But he's had really good teams for a really long time, and he won a Super Bowl. Okay, so that makes whatever team he goes to really interesting. Yep. Also makes the Ravens very interesting. You have an MVP quarterback. You have an elite running back. Whoever takes that job, those are two really interesting jobs.
Can we, real quick, and people want to weigh in on this. I don't know if we got the sound from Lamar after the game. He was asked basically about the future of John Harbaugh, and this is what he had to say.
You asked me about next year, Jameson. I'm so caught up in.
Okay, we can't really. It's too low.
I can't focus on that right now. Okay. I told you, like he asked me, "Are you stunned?" I'm stunned right now. I'm still trying to process what's going on. Like, I know we lost, but what's up?
Okay, that was hard to hear.
Yeah.
But I bet they go offensive-minded coach in Baltimore.
But it's interesting.
I bet that's what they do.
Because an offensive-minded coach, that is not a traditional quarterback, and there's some, what is Lamar? But I think that's a shift in the – we were talking about Tomlin and Harbaugh with one of those long-standing – because I think they're the two longest-tenured coaches, and now one of them's out. And I don't know if Tomlin might – everybody's saying that Tomlin has his eye on a TV job. Florio reported he has the deal done. If he chooses to leave Pittsburgh, he already has a cushy TV deal set up, ready to go. So it's interesting. But in case you missed it, John Harbaugh is out in Baltimore, no longer the head coach of the Ravens after 18 seasons. 617-779-7937 if you want to react to that, if you want to chime in on the Drake May MVP situation.
A lot of people do.
Lines are loaded, so your phone calls next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.